ग्रुप मीटिंग फॉर एमएम फोर्चिंग
रूम नंबर 436
रूम नंबर 436
start off then. Yeah. In terms of volumes, we've given a very aggressive number of say 90,000 tons in the conference call from
80 to 90
from 62-63 what we did the previous year.
Yeah.
So we talked of a number of new order wins. If you could just run us through that, what takes us from 60 to 80 to 90.
Yeah.
And two, we have a capex. You talked of 300 crores 200 crores machining, 100 crores of actual. So in forging, so if you could just take us how 100 becomes 120, what kind of tonnage, etc. Probably you could start off from there.
Sure. Good question. So basically the jump from 60 plus to around 90 is driven by expansion investments that we've done over the last 4-5 years. Most of it is orders bagged. Okay, and very little of it is yet to come. So it's all in the pipe. Not for this year, everything is very much there. So it comes out of increase in share of business with customers and customers' volumes themselves growing. Both aspects are there. So all told together, this wave should take us right up to about 100,000 tons or thereabouts and corresponding turnover. And do the math with about 160-180 rupees per kilogram. Look at whatever 1700 ballpark crores of revenue. Some of naturally this 80 to 90 thousand tons this year is a passing through. It's a moving target. So it's what we will be doing by this year end. And that should, the momentum should take us ultimately to about 1700 plus. So most of it, summing up, is business that we have acquired. All of it is business that we have acquired in the past 2 to 3 years, maybe even 3 years.
In the conference call you mentioned we just won one new order from a PV manufacturer. So essentially it's the existing which are scaling up.
No, it's a new order. It's a new order.
But with existing customers.
It's not an existing customer. It's a new customer.
Okay.
So that's a new line of business for us. That will constitute this year about, on an annualized basis, about 20 to 25 crores of turnover. Nothing big. But still, you know, all these make a add to the whole situation. So this year we will do about 50%. SOP will start from October, November onwards. So there are various buckets that get filled up by various products across which were host long back. Some 3 years back, some 12 months back, some 18 months back, 15 months back. So all that comes into various points of start of production and serialization.
In FY21, we finished at roughly 47,000 tons, which we moved to 62, 63, and now you're saying possibly 80 to 90 and then 100. Do you think that would be the peak of the cycle? Or because why are we yet doing capex then, coming back to that first question?
Because it's customer demand.
Okay.
It's customer demand.
And the geographical mix, how it will differ in say 21, 22 to 23 and ultimately at 100,000 plus volumes?
Quick numbers we take, 550 crores of exports, put it as 500 mentally. This year's revenue, exports remains almost static, and this year's revenue goes to about 1400 thereabouts. Exports will constitute 1/3 to 40% of our turnover.
And in terms of geographical mix, is it changing?
No, largely constant.
So largely what, Europe or?
Europe, US, South America.
So last year we were 45% India, EU, US 2020 and 14-15 remaining.
Yeah. India will move up. Not the others will shrink, but the others will, as a in percentage terms, they'll come down.
Do we, so are we gaining share? So someone else is, are we won business from someone else where they should get supplies for some other supplier?
Combination. Our share of business is going up.
Sure.
Customer volumes are also going up. Both are there.
Because our base case would not be that the industry is growing 50%.
Yeah. Industry also this year is poised for tremendous growth. Last year I think MHCV stood at about 241,000 acres. This year the broad expectation is they'll do about 375. So there also we see a 50%.
The industry itself is growing 50%.
So there is a strong tailwind. That's right.
And in terms of contract with your customer for raw material pass through, has it undergone any change in last 1.5-2 years given the way commodity has
if at all it has worked out in our favor that even export customers where there were no pass throughs or pass throughs were linked to their backyard pricing, most of them have moved towards Indian steel. Last few years, if we take a look, India has led the world. Steel mills won't agree, but as far as alloy steel is concerned, India has led the world in terms of steel price increases. Price increases happen first in India and then across the world. So that way it has been positive for the organization. Otherwise what happens is we have to wait 3 months, 6 months for this increase to take effect in that corner of the world and that customer to pass it on to us.
So one they are now benchmarking the product prices to the Indian steel prices, and in terms of the lag in terms of passing on the price, can you share that also?
That can take 3 months.
So still three.
It used can to be take 3 months. Sorry?
It used to be earlier 3 months?
No, 3 to 6. Now it will be 3 months because it's always based on a past, not on a future basis, but on a past basis.
Seven small understanding in this part. I believe Indian steel prices are lower than foreign steel prices, and is this not the case for our thing? Okay.
At various points, they will be lower. I'm not saying that there will be no disparity. I made the statement that in prices of steel in India increase first.
Okay.
Of alloy steels increase generally increase first in India and then in the rest of the world. Because here the demand supply gap is very fine. And very recently alloy steel producers have found the taste in exports. So that puts more pressure on the gap.
So if our orders are now benchmarked to Indian steel prices, that's actually a benefit for us.
Good for us.
In terms of EBITDA, we per kilo, because everything else is a pass-through, we've been in the region of 33-34. Given that we're looking at increasing utilization levels, do you see these margins go to 36-40? Is it a possibility of on a per kg basis, this number moving up?
I would say from simple math, yes. Okay, if everything remained constant, we should see that.
So what
but
is it
we live
that
in a dynamic world.
Sure.
So that is a positive. So the thrust on EBITDA will be, bias on EBITDA is positive. What's the negative? Wage costs, freight, that sea freight that we are not able to pass on to customers. So these could be the headwinds. So somewhere in between will be the actual result.
Just for those export markets, since energy is a key component, and we are seeing in a lot of the Western world, energy prices have moved up dramatically. Won't that have a positive rub off in terms of the demand?
Will have.
Won't that help the prices?
We've had a spike in prices on exports due to sea freight. Customers have taken about 80% of the brunt. So we've taken about 20% of the brunt. So if you see sea freight delta itself, has we've lost about 20 crores last year.
In terms of overall export competitiveness, how does India now rank?
India, as of before the sea freight increase, nobody to touch.
Okay.
Nobody to touch, not even China.
Nobody can match Indian
competitiveness. Decent margins, decent prices. But now with sea freight going up, constituting a good chunk of sale price, that's a big risk. It's a considerable risk. But that's something that is common across the table, and we have to see how, as an entire exporting community, we will deal with it. I am presuming that something will give way, it is not going to be linear.
The data which we see is that rates are actually incrementally coming down. Is that not right?
Certainly, yes. Thankfully.
And energy costs globally seem to yet be at a heightened level. So, won't
yes.
that increase our competitive intent?
Definitely, yes.
Positioning?
100%. So, that's why I'm saying nothing behaves linear. Something happens. Now, we think that, you know, this will happen, everything will be to my advantage, or everything will be to my disadvantage. But usually, by the experience, we found that it is not as straightforward as we think. We think everything is going to be hunky-dory, somebody will cross path. Then, if we think everything is doomed, there will be some silver lining. So, to answer your other question on CapEx.
Right.
We're looking at 200 crores of investment in machining and about 100 crores in forging. So, as we speak, our 6,300 ton press is under commissioning. It should go live this month for sure, June. That will take us to about 120,000 tons. And coming months, we will add about 10 to 15,000 tons, 10,000 tons of forging capacity out of the 100 crore. Most of it will be debottlenecking, land, buildings, etc. About 10,000 tons we plan to add on the forging side.
Would that be over and above 120,000?
Yeah, over and above.
So we'll end up at 130,000 roughly.
Ballpark. May end up at 130 end of this fiscal or maybe somewhere into next financial. Depends upon how quick we're able to expand.
And how much of this would be available for machining internally?
Let me put it this way. Last year we were at about 40% of our sales came from machine products. This year, FY22, we ended up with 50% sales coming from machine products. Are we recording the call or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. You're doing it?
No.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Next year the ratio should go to about 60 to 65. And ultimately end at about 70%.
Does this include our acquired entity?
Yeah. Okay. All acquired entities. Virtually, we can treat them as owned machine shops.
So basically, our margin of machining should be at least 500 bps higher than forging. So ideally, from a mix perspective, it should lead to higher margins.
This is why I'm saying bias on margin is positive.
Okay.
I'm being very guarded because I do not know what else will come my way. So it's very easy to say, okay, here this will increase, here that will increase, and then.
See, how much are the margins higher in machining?
4-5%.
Oh.
What
so
would be the gross fixed asset turnover for machining units? One?
Less than one. That is on, if you say fixed asset to on turnover, will you include forging sales or not? Oh, then it will be pathetically low. 0.4, 0.3.
And this forging captive will be less than one.
Yeah.
And if you see on the glass fixed assets, it will be lower.
I'll give you
on depreciated value, it will be more than 1.2 times, almost 2 times.
Okay.
We'll try to work out that number on machining asset to machine turnover. To machine turnover, we'll take it both ways, with forging price turned in and without forging price. Again. How much over we prepare, you guys ask a couple of ratios that we haven't figured out. It is good. Helps us to look at the business in a different way. Thanks. So,
in terms of products which you supply, in the sense of forgings you supply, the products are basically machine engine components, or these are different components also? Do you have any breakup on that? Keep whatever products you are supplying, these are all, what percentage will be engine components and what will be other? Do you have any?
In terms of numbers, I can say numbers, definitely not in terms of value, because currently engine components will be quite low. About 20-25%.
In terms of volume you are saying?
Overall value also.
So
close to 30%.
So less than 30% of our end products are engine component is what you are saying. And rest will be what other products where it will be going?
Axle.
Okay. Mainly axle.
Yeah.
So axle will be what? 50% or what?
I'll break it into body parts.
Okay.
And then
transmission.
Does the export duty on metals, how does it impact your business?
it has brought steel price rise to a rapid halt and what shall I say, reversal. So to that extent, it is, it brings in less inflation. It has achieved its goal of certainly not just reining in but also reversing inflation. In the next 6 months, steel prices of increase of this year will be reversed positively, and we may even see some downward trend compared to where we started the year at. But ultimately it reverses inflation, and therefore from a minimum perspective, very very defensive perspective, steel constitutes about 7% of India's GDP. So if you say 20% increase in steel prices, that means 1.4% inflation. It's a big number. Just one commodity causing 1.5% inflation means a big number. So that is removed. That's 1.5% that we don't have to be worried on the inflation front. Which means that interest rate hikes will be deferred or reduced. And to that extent, demand deflation will not take place because people are loath to spend higher for the sake. Well, take a builder for example. Just because steel goes up, he's not going to get more realization on his building that year. Ultimately, he'll pass on that inflation to somebody else next year or so. Just one sec. It will result in better demand, and as a result it's positive. The other way also is that while turnover could shrink, the impact of, you know, there's not an inflationary impact on steel, margins will be better off. Same 35 rupees EBITDA will be available on a lesser forging rate, or it could be EBITDA positive. So both ways it's good for the organization and good for the country as a whole.
And this new press which you are just about to commission, the products which we will turn out from that machine, from this press, is it a very different set of products which we were turning, or it's
the
same
replica? The presses are centered around three sets of parts, three general families of parts. Of course there are a couple of others as well which we are not into, but three families of parts at least we are into are beams, knuckles, front axle beams and knuckles, and crankshafts.
Okay.
So the front axle beam is the one that supports a vehicle in the front,
yeah,
obviously, and there are two knuckles at the end of, at each end of the beam.
Okay.
So both are effectively part of the same assembly, front axle assembly. Crankshaft goes into the engine. So this press will do knuckles and cranks.
Knuckles and cranks. And
maybe a very small beam, but we are not planning.
And in terms of efficiency of this press compared to your older press, is it very different or it is just the same?
Very pertinent question from our point of view. I'd like to say that I'm planning really big on the machine. Not that the machine is
sure
capable just as the other, but because of the volume of parts that go in, we are planning to run it with a high degree of automation.
Sure.
Okay, and my aim is to produce 6 parts a minute.
Aim to produce 6 parts per minute versus,
yeah,
what it is being done by other presses.
True.
So it's a very big jump, quantum jump. So.
So sometimes you have to aim high, aim at the stars, so at least hit 3 tops.
Sure.
So
but
I'm aiming to produce 6 parts a minute. And the machine will be really radical. If it churns out, we need to look at high volume parts alone on that machine. For
sure.
The strategy to succeed, we need to run that machine with high volume parts, not with too many changeovers. The changeovers will kill productivity. We're able to get high volume parts run on that machine can be a real game changer.
And
I mean, all my capacity numbers will be thrown into the dustbin if this is reality.
Sure, sir. And this 6 parts,
even at 4 parts a minute and let's say a decent availability, can translate into huge numbers.
Essentially, you are saying it is 3 times more efficient than the rest of
our productive, yeah.
More productive or efficient, whatever. Okay, and this 6 parts per machine has been indicated by or assured to you by the machine supplier or no?
We cobble together the machine, the automation, everything ourselves.
Okay.
If I went to a machine supplier who offered me this, I can get it done with a Japanese or a German guy.
Sure, sir.
He will charge me a bomb.
Okay, so this is all our indigenously done R&D and other things to,
yeah,
to achieve that efficiency.
Yeah.
And that is not, and if it is successful, and I hope it is successful, can we do similar things in the older machine or we can't do it because it is so old that we can't
do it? Other 8,000 and 7,000 compresses we can do, but those are little bigger parts, so it may not be to this level.
Sure.
But it can, each of those can be upgraded. We are already working on that.
Okay.
To upgrade each of those to better levels. The key here is not so much of the movement of the parts. The key on this machine will be, as I said, accumulating parts with decent volumes. Otherwise, we might have to take a risk and say, okay, we'll run this once a month, once in 2 months.
Okay.
We'll run this part once in 2 months instead of running it every month. There are runner items. We'll have to convert repeaters into runners.
So for this machine to run most efficiently, we need to have that much of volume from our customer or assurance of volume from that customer and
offtake.
Okay.
Because what will the customer do by assuring you and then he's not got his end business?
Yes. So multiple customers.
Correct. Exactly.
Multiple customers. And we already have that visibility or we have to work on that visibility?
Visibility is there.
Visibility is
there. Visibility is there.
And how much time for us to take from say 2 parts per minute to say 6? It would take 12 months or I think from the start we will be able to generate or it won't be possible.
The automation comes in only by end of this calendar.
Okay.
So I would like to give us a year's time.
So probably 2023 calendar year we will be able to run it in the most efficient way as what we can.
Worst
do.
Case I will say 50% more efficient. That's from 2 to 3, it's a given number. 3
okay.
is in the pocket.
Okay.
4, 5, 6, we have to work on.
Sure, sir. And you also emphasize that it is much more automated compared to, say, the earlier set of machines. So, in terms of manpower required per machine, is there any number we should work around or we should not think in that?
3 people, 4 people, if I make it 0 also, doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
But what will happen is, one of the earlier guys asked me, what will happen when you commission the 6,000? Will you be adding to your fixed cost? I said, no. 620 people out of 4,000 not going to make
doesn't
a big
make
difference,
difference
to my fixed cost. But what will happen is that I was also musing beyond then until now. Most of the people will be required in preparing for that explosive output. Instead of, you know, saving on labor, I would say these guys will be focused with quality of people, everything will change, the team will be involved in preparing for a high productivity.
Okay.
So there it says, if you can imagine, instead
sure.
of putting in 3 such presses, let's say we end up with, worst case, with 2 presses, with twice the output, same number of people, doing preparation, still that's 50% improvement on manpower. But here in any case, manpower costs are a small portion of the tonnage. The quality of the output and the quantity of the output will override any manpower we can throw at it. Even if I put 3 people extra and if I achieve these numbers, it will be fabulous. So manpower wise, to cut a long story short, long answer short,
sure, sir.
Doesn't move the needle anyway, but the bottom, the tonnage side goes up tremendously.
And just for a context perspective, how many 6,300 ton presses we have or different kind of presses? Have you shared that? This is the only one. And the other presses are of what?
7,000 and 8,000, the big brothers. are already there.
Okay. So you, this will be the third press for us?
Just of the current run rate of, you know, last year's numbers of 1100, 1200 crores, how much is these, you know, high velocity parts that you could move to this press?
About quick number would be around 75 to 80 crores, 100 crores. Quick number, 100 crores you can take.
So it's still, I mean, you'll have to win new business to keep this space occupied.
No. I don't have to win any new business for this growth.
No, I
put things in perspective. I know where you're going.
Yeah.
So I don't have to add new business to get to this growth. A good portion of this growth will come from this machine. Thereby, okay, freeing up machines, existing machines for other output, or all told together for the expected growth of 50-odd%. So that is on one side. The other is whether I'll be able to fully load this machine with current with the projected demand. Probably not.
But you're still freeing up the other 7,000 and 8,000 presses for more complex parts, more changeovers,
bigger parts, less volume,
right.
Volume parts. So that way, this beast will have to be fed with more numbers of parts, or parts that have higher volumes.
But
all the same. It running at a higher efficiency, higher level of productivity will mean a big change.
Though that those parts are only 10% of your business right now.
Right.
So you're saying incremental business one is largely in these high velocity parts.
I see.
Is that correct understanding?
It's a correct understanding. I see at least 100 crores coming out of those parts in the year ahead. So 1100 to 1500 journey, if we take, at least 100 of that 400 delta is coming from these parts.
And that total will become 200 basically. You already have 100 right now,
yeah,
so basically.
It becomes 200.
Given that we are not talking about passing on a large part of it, so while you did mention EBITDA has an upward bias, but would we be passing on the benefit also to the customer to get
increase
for the
market manage? Share?
Yep.
Possibly. Possible. That possibility exists. Because even today my marketing guy made a call and suddenly one customer wants a price reduction. Which customer doesn't want, but they're pushing for it. So something we'll have to, we could consider.
So proactively you'll want to cut prices for a customer?
No.
Sure.
We don't do that. So far, I haven't done it. At least customer has to reach for his pistol. At least. If not, shoot. He has to do, he has to threaten.
So you're expecting the industry to perform, you said, 241,000 vehicles to 375,000 vehicles. So you expect a even medium term strong output beyond that as well?
Yes. The reason is that this year it will grow by momentum. And next year onwards, there will be governmental pull and or spending in terms of infra, 2024 being an election year.
So the previous peak was in 2019. When does the industry scale the previous peak?
480 was the previous peak.
Mm-hmm.
Your bet is as good as mine. So too many, what shall I say, factors are at play. And one significant factor we have to consider is the tonnage of these trucks hauled. The haulage of these trucks has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it is right at all to compare numbers,
right.
It's a big, big question. Mm-hmm. Isn't it so? Roads have changed, speeds have changed, and velocity of trucks have changed. So 480 is no longer a holy grail. We sell 400, maybe it's more than 480. Maybe even 300, maybe more than 480. We have to go. This is why I made it a point to see, assess the industry tonnage over the last 3 years. howsoever guess, how much soever guesswork there might be, we want to do that. We have numbers from most OEs, CM data is available. So we'd like to see what is the ballpark tonnage of haulage produced by MHCV makers over the last 3 years. That will give us an idea. But I tell you, we are a growing economy. Few years back, truck from Trichy to Lucknow or Pantnagar would take anywhere between 9 to 15 days to reach. Now it takes 7 days, aram say 4 days if we push. 5 days if we, 4 to 5 days if we push. 4 if we are lucky, 5 it will reach if we are. So the industry has undergone a tremendous change. And that is the reason why there has been slow offtake over the last few years. Because demand has been created by just roads, by GST, by FASTag, by driving habits. I was in DBS a few months back and I heard some voice from outside coming in Tamil. Just went out to investigate who it was, a truck driver talking on the mobile phone. So then only said to me, okay, it's our truck, he was sent from there, so I had a chat with him. So the guy tells me that he and his no longer cleaner, huh? Two drivers per truck. So they made a shift. No longer one guy simply fetching a pail of water, cooking and all those things. Two drivers. The truck runs all the time. All the time. Day or night it runs. These guys cook or sleep in the cabin, in a small portion behind the cabin, between the cabin and the storage area for goods and the goods area. And it's a huge shift. So the truck runs, he says, we cook, we eat, so they get to eat their own cooking. It means that food is healthier, you don't have to eat everywhere. And they make a decent pile of money in the bargain. He says, if I make one trip abroad, one trip north and back, it's about 12 to 15 days, depending upon the luck of the load and ability of return load. And we make about 20,000 rupees each per trip. So we see that, you know, velocity of money is growing, wages are growing, all these things are pulling India in a really positive spiral.
What do you think about railway freight? Because how does that play out?
Clear and present danger.
Sure.
To trucking industry. But I'll tell you, we need everything to improve our efficiency. If somebody told me that, you know, GST and good roads are bad for trucking industry. Okay, bad in the we all know it's bad. It was bad in the short term, but we all know that efficiencies will take the better of, you know, we wring out the efficiencies, it'll add to future growth. So railways coming in will have a dampening effect on the truck market. No doubt about it. It's not, but I'm sure, as I said, nothing is linear. More goods travel by road, maybe faster, we'll require LCVs to take them off, RORO is there, no? Rail off, rail on. Something will change. Overall, so long as the economy grows, will grow in India, trucking will improve. Trucking will grow. There's room for everybody, sorry?
Even the IMS is coordinating with the truck industry only to see that truck itself will get into the load in the vehicle also somewhere.
Couple of months back, very interesting story, you raised this. We needed, I don't know which month, today we are in
March.
March, yeah.
March.
We were stuck for some material. And there's no way to bring it from supplier to our end except by rail. We ordered one entire rail for the first time. We means the supplier did. One entire rake he ordered, they loaded everything. It took them 24 hours to load. In 36 hours, the material was there, starting to come into the plant. When we looked at how many trucks he would have actually employed, there were not enough trucks available. 20 tons a truck, how many trucks you can take to do 3,000 tons? 150 trucks.
from the flip side, so what about the dedicated freight corridors and that will be in your benefit only, right?
Everything, ultimately there will be, see, dedicated freight corridor, by, that's by road, right?
Right.
So, it will have an impact in terms of bringing down the number of trucks on the road. Well, truck doesn't have to stop, it can run at 70 kilometers an hour continuously, nobody is there. I do not know the structure of the corridor. But if it improves efficiency, it will mean lesser number of trucks for the time being. But it will improve efficiencies. And that efficiency will beget further market. It will create further markets. Now imagine sending a truckload from Trichy to Pantnagar in 5 days. Now the advantage for me is there is less inventory on the wheels. Nobody has factored that. My response time to customer is better. I spend less capital locked. So nothing is linear. The trend is that very clearly velocity of money in India is going up. Margins will come down over time. All of us will see that, you know, 20-30% margins and all those businesses will come down lower. There will be more money to be made faster. You look at Beam, UPI, so many things have changed.
Why
do
you think margins will reduce it?
Velocity of money increases, margins will automatically reduce. Capital and efficiencies will find their level. There'll be more competition, no? Straight.
Working capital side, how it is different in exports and domestic?
Marginally about 30 days higher in exports.
Because of the inventory or the
inventory, parts on this, water.
So domestic is what net working capital?
90 days.
So 190 and 120.
Maybe even 150 in exports.
Okay.
Sir, anything on debt reduction plan?
I'll be very happy if I minimize my debt expansion this year. We had about 430 crores of long-term debt. And we are slated to invest about 300 crores. So, probably we might have to borrow 100 to 200 crores. And repay another 90 odd. So net debt increase, net there could be a debt increase. Or there will be an increase in debt. You could. We spend so much, naturally there will be an increase in debt.
So at 90,000 ton plant, in terms of volume, you are expecting a top line close to 1500 odd crores. And 300 odd crores EBITDA.
Consequently, give or take something.
In terms of further expansion, is there a space?
And so
available?
Working capital will be close to around 250 odd crores.
Yeah, we are at about 210 now. Could be around 250. Yeah. We have some slack. We have stockpiled some materials by end of March for anticipating an increase in April. So all that will get ironed out, but then there will be more sales this year, so more material will be made, and I would expect another.
So
what's
your plan in terms of free cash flow positive?
Sorry?
Free cash flow positive going forward in next 2 years, 3 years? Any thought process on that?
Question I've been asked at various, not at various, by different people at different times. I would say business is requiring cash, it's generating money, and it's not risky to put that money there right now.
But being into a cyclical business, it is
no choice. I took that question in the investor conference call also. It's a cyclical business, we have to ride the tiger. If you get out the tiger, fine, you can, but then you don't have anything to ride off. This is the business we are in. So we have to see. Of course, I'm being very blunt. Other ways of de-risking should be to look at non-CV business. But having invested so much and gone in one track, we look at it at future times. But so long as we see positivity in the business, not a bad thing. Every business has its pluses and minuses. One of the things about the CV business is that it is cyclical. the plus point for MM Forgings is that it straddles CV business in 4 markets. You should remember that. India, US, Europe, South America. Which is really a big plus.
So how much would be a maintenance capex?
20 crores.
20,
15 to 30 crores.
So our depreciation is roughly 65 to 70 crores. So 20 is probably maintenance and 50 generally we is for
sure. Depending upon the base year,
right.
Last few years we've invested 750 to 900 crores.
Right. We had FY19, I think 280 crores as the large amount.
So you mentioned about non-CV businesses, and a couple of con calls back I remember you said that you are planning something in the EV space which can be as big as the existing business.
Put some things in perspective. By 2030, okay, let us say that the cars, four-wheelers, 20% penetration, 20 to 30%, 25% penetration. Three-wheelers are fully converted, two-wheelers are also 80-90% EV. This is normal expectation, as I see it. This size EV market in terms of powertrain alone, not vehicle side, powertrain alone is about 100,000 crores. You take 1% share, 2% share, 3% share. Some number we have to assign, depending upon how, and the future is very fluid. But at 1% it's 1,000 crores, at 2% it's 2,000 crores. For 40 years MM Forgings has come to 48 years, we have come to 1,100 crores. Whereas this can happen in 5 years, 7 years, 8 years. If everything, you know, coincides. So there's a huge potential.
So would you be adding some more color on your EV business? What are you planning?
Sorry?
Would you add some more color on the EV side? What are you planning?
Not right now, but I can say as what I said in the call yesterday, we are looking at something in the EV space. I don't think I'm allowed to disclose anymore. But we are planning something in the powertrain side. Battery is too big, too capital intensive, and too risky for us, for a company of our size. So, nothing on the battery side. Something on the powertrain side.
Would we be open to newer technologies in terms of, say, aluminium forgings and shop?
We are open. Sometimes we are also driven by where we are. So that drive itself, if it sucks out your ability to raise capital, sometimes you have to be content with what we are doing. There are risks to it, naturally. So what we try to do is we try to go out of the fixed path by dabbling into newer technologies, newer products, newer, which is how this entire large press thing came about. So I'm sure aluminum will also come about in that way. But there are lot of scope in lot of other areas also in the forging industry that we could look at.
One question, like as you said that you have been asked multiple times on the free cash flow thing, this expansion we are doing, and we are well aware that it's a cyclical industry, why aren't we considering from mindset perspective equity funded, like maybe a QIP or whatever, instead of taking more debt? I think every con call question is asked why, when to repay debt. And one more thing, yeah, before you start, I in my personal observation, I think we have moved from being a very, very conservative mindset, now which seems to be very, if I may use the word, aggressive mindset. So if you could add some color on all of this.
first question, I'll throw it back to you. Do you think we should look at equity or raise debt?
No, I'm just trying to.
No, I'm just asking. I'm just asking your viewpoint.
In the open forum, which we have been seeing also.
No, I'm not. No strings attached. I'm just asking a simple. You've been analyzing and you have a viewpoint, and definitely we have also.
Mm-hmm.
But just your views on it. Plain simple, nothing.
So it's a call between dilution and taking a cyclical call. So if you are very confident on the cycle, then better go for the debt.
Mm.
And so if you take debt, it tells you need to be much more confident. And obviously if there is a slight bit of doubt, then equity is a safer option.
Okay.
That's my way of thinking.
Super, very well put. In these times, which would you like to suggest? just a question. It's a very nice, well put.
So as you always say that nothing is linear, so I think the best answer is grey, both, mix of both.
Now
you cornered me.
No, you're being a politician. it's not a decision that I can hold you to, because you're not going to take the decision. This is your idea, that's all. Okay, we'll leave it at that. The other question was?
Debt.
No, this mindset of being super conservative to reasonably aggressive.
Okay. The thing is that when we started out on the expansion a few years back, one of the questions raised in the boardroom was, why are you borrowing money when you have a stash? I said, I've raised the stash so that I have 2 years of repayment left in me at any point of time. I found that in 2008-09, when we required even some little bit of money, banks were loath to lend. Only SBI came forward and said, no questions are asked. Good time, bad time, auto, non-auto, they just took one look, MM Forgings is there, other end of the table, simply give. All amount, 5 crores, 8 crores they gave. So, but the experience stood that, like equity, debt also, you raise only at a time when it's available, not at a point when you need it. Or equity when you price, right? Equity is always available at a price. So when price is in your favor, or you think it's in your favor. So what we did was, we have 2 years of repayment in our, which is why right through the pandemic, I did not lose even a single night's sleep on account of, oh, we have so much of debt, we have so much of this. I knew that so long as we conserved cash, that is, we did not bleed. April 2020, leave it. Entire world was in shutdown. But we also cut, ruthlessly we cut in April, and nobody raised a whimper at MM Forgings. Right across the board, above 20,000 rupees salary, we cut 50% minimum. Logic was like this. You couldn't even go out and buy a Hawaii slipper. What would you need money to spend on? Kana Pina. Pina also was not much available then. So only Kana. So we said, okay. Like a tortoise pulling its legs, we cut and we just stay. And if you recall, if you see the margins of that quarter, we ran a loss only, I think, for the first time. But even that was because we cut wages tremendously. So, what I would say is that it has shown us that we have to have a safety net. We have to build the safety net before we entered into this. So, which is why we ventured. As we ventured, we found that acceptance is a very negative word there. Market reception was tremendous. Give one example, just I'll end up with this. 2016 or so, when I can see my notes, when I visited one customer, he almost like was throwing biscuits at a dog. You know, very, very negative picture I can show you was, okay, I'll give you this business. 2017, when I visited him, Come. I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you this. What can you do for me? Signed one LOI, everything signed. 1 year back, when I went and said, literally, it was like putting, old bread. But 1 year later, the perception was different. But of course, it quickly changed because axle load norms were changed and the industry went down in 1.5 years. But in that 1.5 years, you got entrance. And entrance is the be and end all of marketing.
So that proved to be a huge change. And even now, I tell you, the receptions that I have with customers, yesterday we met one, 2 days back, customer visited us. The thing is simply out of the world. So that is what keeps us going. It's not that, you know, we invest for the pride of turnover or for the pursuit of profit. Customer satisfaction is the be and end all. Other things are secondary. Because we have to ensure that investments are profitable, repayments are possible, and everything, there should be stability in across the board. So this is what drives us.
Sure. So those whom I haven't given a card, thanks so much.
Okay.
My reading on the CV market is in line with your expectations?
Yes.
Yeah?
Thank you.
No, is my reading in line with your expectations?
Yes. Yeah.
What would the expectation
about CV market?
Both
looks
like.
I said
no, from about 360.